1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic 3.
Fart check. What?
Hey guys, welcome to In the Kitchen, a podcast where we talk all things life, relationships, and questions we wish we would have had the answers to. I'm your host, Maddie Smith, and without further ado, let's jump right into the first episode.
Okay, what's up, you guys? Welcome to In the Kitchen. I have two very special guests with me today, my sister, Abby Smith, and her boyfriend, Ian McCabe.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh.
How's it going, you guys?
Hello. We're good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, just sipping on my 6 o'clock cocktail. Because that's the quarantine lifestyle these days, you know?
It really is. Like, honestly, 3 p.m. is a really good time to start. 3 to 7 is about, like, good happy hour time.
Those are the happiest hours of the
happiest hours of the day, for sure.
That's what I'm hearing. All right. Well, I'm glad that you guys could join me. I live with you every day right now.
Yep.
That is true. That's true.
See you every morning.
That other people out in the world would like to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So why don't you both just give us a little kind of synopsis, you know, who you are, what you do, what you like to do for fun, all that kind of good stuff.
I'll let Ian kick this one off.
Okay. I'm Ian McCabe. I currently work. I hate it when people talk about work when they start talking about themselves. So forget my job. I am trying not to swear as much. So congratulations, podcast world. No, I'm somebody, now in my life, I'm an avid runner and teacher and part-time coach to certain other runners and a creative professional, I guess, which gives me an outlet for the wacky way my brain works, which started when I was a little kid. I started in theater as an actor when I was 6 years old. I played a card in Alice in Wonderland, and, like, everything's been downhill since.
Nice.
But I traveled. I spent some time, I had sort of a wonky college early 20s time. I dropped out of college twice. Traveled and worked as an actor, and then eventually made my way back to school, where I discovered that in some drunken haze I had declared a folklore major, and that's what I had to finish with. And then I became a teacher, went on to get a master's degree in education, and then wound up back here doing some really fun stuff. So I've gotten to live in Chicago and New York, South Carolina, all over the place. And work with, like meet some really great kids and people all over the place.
That's nice. That's good.
That's essentially me.
That's you, for sure.
In a nutshell.
And I am Abby Smith. I agree with you, and I don't want to describe myself by my job. So I am a passionate home baker with a current part-time fun job at a local bakery here in Bloomington, which is really fun. It's really fun to learn the ins and outs of, like, not corporate, but, like, a working kitchen. That's not my home kitchen, so that's been really fun. I went to IU, had a really great time there, and now I'm still in town doing some work at the university. Yeah, and just since it's my first year out of college, learning how to be a working adult and professional. It's a different transition. Now I understand what people mean when they say, like, don't grow up and don't rush your life away. It's really weird to feel like I'm a maybe 17 or 18 year old in a almost 24 year old body, but we're figuring it out, making it work.
Right. What do you think is, like, the biggest challenge that you've had transitioning into, like, full-time work, but also what's it like working in the town you grew up? You know, kind of just...
I hear it. Good question. I think I will first address the latter question of what's it like growing up in an or what's it like working in the town you grew up in? I think it's a twofold. The first is that it's really great in the sense that, like, I was really well connected into our community, just from, like, doing a lot of babysitting, a lot of nannying, and just a lot of clubs and organizations throughout all my school years here, that I had a great base, like, a really good community and really good connections, which was, like, it's really awesome to be able to go into my job every day and be, like, and someone mentioned someone's name, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I know them or their daughter or... So, you know, it makes a relatively large town feel small and, like, really connected, which has been really beneficial. But at the same time, people remember you from, like, high school or your college career or your college experience. So it's a little interesting moving into a professional setting in that sense of, like, you know, moms I used to help babysit or used to babysit for, it's like, hey, could you babysit at like 3 p.m. today? And it's like, oh my gosh, well, I so wish I could, but I have to work, or like, hey, I have a big girl job. Like my answer is always like, oh, like, well, I have a big girl job now, so I wish, but I can't. So it's been really interesting, and like, it's hard, I think, for me to differentiate my time as a professional and my time as like a kid here and like a non-professional or adult. So it's been interesting to try to figure out like how to move into that transition, I think, of being a working adult.
Right. What's something that you wish somebody would have told you beforehand just about transitioning into full-time work and things like that?
I wish they would have told me that, like, I wish people really would have emphasized how important it is to, like, stay connected to friends and, like, hobbies. I think what is really important is, like, how to stay connected to hobbies and things, because, like, once you start working maybe a 9-to-5 job, it's really hard to, like, from 9-to-5, like, your job, you're at your job, you're there, and, like, you're there. Where, it, to me, that was so different from when I was doing, like, 10 different things in a day. So, like, I think it was really easy for the days to get monotonous and really, like, Groundhog Day-esque. And so I wish someone would have been like, dude, you really got to find, like, some community or some kind of, like, group to get connected to, because, like, you got to change up your days. And sometimes you have to have things to look forward to in adult world, just, like, in every world. Like, it's really important to have things to look forward to and people you can rely on and lean into. So, yeah, I think I wish that people would have told me, like, or really emphasized more, like, work can't be your, like, total fallback for things. Like, you've got to have things outside of work.
Awesome. Ian, I'm sure your experience is different since you didn't finish college right away, but can you maybe just like talk about what your biggest challenges were? Because you grew up in Brown County, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so what was it like moving from a super small town like Brown County to, I guess, Bloomington, and then what, like Chicago, New York, like those are...
Yeah, my biggest transition was the first big transition, I should say, was when I moved to Chicago. And so I was, I had just turned, well, right before my 21st birthday, I decided to drop out of college. And I had a summer acting job, and then I had two acting jobs in South Carolina, but they were both pretty temporary. So it was like 4 weeks one time, 4 to 6 weeks the first time on the one job, and then the second job was like 12 weeks long. And in between then, I was like living in my parents' basement and working at a restaurant in Brown County. And I was like, well, I can't keep living in Brown County and then going like to random places to act. So I decided to move to, I was like, I'm going to move to a big city. And then a friend of mine said, move to Chicago. I live here. You can do all the things you want. And so it was like a guy from Indiana that I knew and that I had gone to first college with. And the first college. And so I moved to Chicago and then I have this summer job at a theater in New Mexico, and I'm about a week from finishing that contract, and I just like assumed I was gonna go live with this guy, and I called him, and he was like, "Oh, sorry, bro, I fell in love with a girl from South Dakota, and I don't live in Chicago anymore."
How long was that at that time?
How long ago was that? That was 10 years ago.
No. How long between when you were going to move and when he met the girl?
A week. So I was going to, and so he's like, I don't, like, sorry, there's no place for you to, like, we were going to live together. But I was like, you know what? I'm still going to do it. I found some rando roommates on Craigslist who were also doing.
Remind us, what year was this?
This was the year, 2000. No, this was 2010.
So you weren't using dial-up.
No.
Craigslist.
We were still using Craigslist to find roommates. They were also improviser and comedians. That's what I was moving to Chicago to do. And I think the biggest transition for me was like, was learning to accept that like everything was my fault, or like everything was gonna be on me. Like no matter what I did, like if I stayed out drunk until 4 a.m. and I woke, I like came to walking in the middle of the streets of Chicago, which did happen. Like that was my responsibility, right? Like living in a city in Chicago. She just cracked a nail. She like straight up laughed her nail off.
That quarantine forced me to put big nails on, and they've been on for less than 48 hours, and one has already popped off. So, anyways.
So
back to the drunken 4 a.m.
So like for a guy who's from a small town, like yes, I'd lived out on my own before that point, but being in a big city, it's like, oh, this is real. And I also learned a lot about people who wanted to take advantage of me, which like happened pretty quickly. But like I also like. And so for me, that transition from small to big town was just like a lot of learning about like, oh, like walking down the middle of the street here is a little different. And that sounds like a pretty backwoodsy. But yeah, I just learned that like you are on your own in a big city like that when you move there, and you don't know everybody. And, and I never transitioned to a full-time job, right, for, like, 8 years. I didn't have a real full-time job until I was 28 years old. I worked at a sandwich shop, and I went to acting auditions. So, and I loved it. So there's nothing wrong there.
No. But then what was it like? After like experience in Chicago and then to New York, you know, was there kind of like a...
Oh, they're very different cities. New York is, there's way more people and it's way tighter, right? It's like Chicago covers way more land. Manhattan is a 12 square miles, right? There's, I don't know how many people, but there's a lot of people.
Too many.
And I had some time between, I'm really glad I lived in Chicago before I lived in New York as somebody from a tiny town, like a particularly Midwestern town. Cause Chicago is still Midwestern. People are still like pretty Midwestern friendly. Whereas in New York, every now and then the kindness of strangers is present. But most of the time it's like Bluetooth headphones, like everybody's I studied physical theater in the work of Jacques Lecoq, and there's like these states of being that you can work in. And the second state of being, like directly after being woken up and drowsy, is metro, or like, which is the French word for like the train, or like the MTA in New York, where like you're focused and you're moving, but you don't see anything around you. And you don't like acknowledge anything around you. And that is like the general state of being in New York. It's not that people are mean. It's just that like in that city, in that environment, myself included, right? Like I don't remove myself from this. Everyone is so focused on surviving in their own specific and interesting way that that you don't always take the time to see the people in the world around you. Yeah, that was the biggest difference in New York, is that it is just like 100% this sort of urban tunnel vision. Or that's what my experience was. I don't speak for everybody. Some people like absolutely love the community of New York, and I think that's lovely. I didn't get that all the time.
So if I were fresh out of college, which I sort of am, and if I looked to you and said, I'm going to New York and I'm gonna pursue my acting, my singing career, my theater, what kind of advice would you give somebody, or tell somebody, maybe to knock them off their block a little bit?
Oh, no, I'm never gonna knock anybody off their block.
If you heard my singing voice, you would knock me off my block.
Well, if I was 100% aware of your talent level and it wasn't up to par, which like Maddie, oh sorry, hit the mic. Maddie has a great singing voice, by the way.
She is a good singer. You are a good singer.
I would also say that like people who are moderately talented, who work really hard, are way better off than people who are incredibly talented who work kind of hard. Like, I know people, right? I worked with people who are now on Saturday Night Live or who write for Saturday Night Live. And those people are, like, they're super talented people. They're super talented people. But even more than being super talented, they were hustlers and super dedicated to their work, right? So I would say, like, you know, you can do it. Anybody can do it. You just have to like, it's harder work than most 9-to-5 jobs. And it is, you are the only person who's responsible at the end of the day, right? You don't have a boss to blame things on. You don't have coworkers to blame things on. You are an independent contractor and you represent yourself. Even if you have an agent, like you are the business, and you're the CEO, you're the CFO, you're the janitor of your life, right? And so, like, you're going to move to New York City, and you want to be a singer, you want to be an actor, you want to be a dancer. And, like, you're taking, like, this is advice from somebody who isn't working in one of those cities as one of these things, right? So, grain of salt. Like, the people who I've seen be successful were grinders. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, really, really lovely, nice people, mm-hmm. right? Like, be kind,
yeah.
Work hard. I mean, it's advice that like any Midwesterner would like to give you: be kind and work hard. Right. But like, those are the most successful people I know, were people who are always nice and who worked their tails off at what they wanted.
And I would just like piggyback. On that, and like while Ian is speaking to like acting and like those kind of creative careers, I think that that's like advice for any career that you're in, is like always just work hard and like always just be kind. I think in other podcasts I've listened to, just from like hearing like women speak about starting their own businesses, and or like anyone like on any kind of podcast or starting their own business or whatever, it's been a lot of, like, I hear people say, like, all the time, like, I am way more willing to hire someone who's, like, ready to work and ready to work hard than someone who is going to come in and say, well, I have this degree from this place and I, like, know all the things. Like, if you're ready to work and work hard and, like, to have a kind attitude towards it, like, you're going to be successful in any job that you feel passionate about. And, like, that's another key thing, I think, is, like, to feel passion for it. Something that you're going to, like, wake up and feel excited to do and, like, go to bed excited to do.
Damn. There you have it, you guys. That's a hashtag truth talks with Ian and Abby. We love that. And, yeah. So the other thing that I just wanted to talk about was just that, I mean, since you both had really different kind of straight out of college career trajectories, what is it that makes someone go for an opportunity after college, like, in your mind? Like, do you think that we're really quick to just take what we can get or, like, wait for something that we want? I mean, I guess, like, everyone's different, you know, but...
Yeah. I would say coming out of college, for me, it was, like, it felt like there was an expectation. If I went to college for 4 years and got a degree, well, then I felt the pressure and expectation to get a job that seemed fitting.
We call that the Kelly School of Business Effect.
Yes. I think that's just like, yes, maybe the Kelly School of Business Effect, or just like societal pressure of like, hey, you went to college for 4 years and got a degree that would like cost a lot of money, so like you should probably get a job that like pays you well and like that you utilize that. So for me, it was a lot of like, okay, I need to find a job. But also, like, I was really fortunate in the sense that I had a lot of connections at the university, which is how I got my job, which, like, I know people say it all the time, but, like, it's all about who you know. I think that's really what it comes down to.
And how you, like, would you say it's, like, just about who you know or, like, how you work with those people that you know?
No, I agree. Yeah, good point. It's a lot of, like, first impression type of things and, like, the people that I knew in the job that I have now was a lot of, like, they had seen me work over a longer period of time, and, like, I'd been consistent and, like, pretty productive and, like...
I mean, it circles back to what you guys were literally just talking
about. Yeah, of, like, working hard. And so, I don't know. There's, in a sense, like, I think I, and it differs for every person, but I was looking for, like, security. And, like, something to just kind of get the ball rolling. And, like, yeah. And that's to say, like, you take your first job and, like, you work in it for a year. Like, I really don't think there's any shame or any guilt or there shouldn't be in, like, you test it out and you're testing the waters. And, like, if you love it, that's amazing. If you hate it, now's the time to, like, look for something new. Mm. So, like, yeah, just... It's like anything. You're, like, in your freshman year of life. You're, like, your first year out of school. So, like, if you want to take the opportunity and, like, if you want to treat it like school and be, like, I don't know what I want to do. So, like, sure, I'll take this random job out in, like, Oklahoma or, like, Dallas, Texas or something. I say, like, go for it. You're young. Like, who knows? And, like, our mom, like, she started a business when she was, like, 50 years old. So, like... It's just, like, there's never going to be a right time, I think, to take an opportunity. So sometimes you just got to, like, jump off the cliff a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Shameless plug for Consider It Done if you have any people who need some downsizing, storage, organizing needs. Just hit me up and I'll get you guys connected. Sweet.
Nice.
Do you have anything thoughts to add on that?
Yeah. What is it on the iMessage, right? I'll emphasize it with the exclamation points. Everything you just said. Hold it down and poop poop. And so
send confetti.
Send confetti. Right. No, even though, like, I sort of ran away, like, Peter Pan, right? Or, like, in my romantic vision of myself, that's what it was.
Wearing tights.
Yeah, though I would never fit into green tights. big boi. And so...
Not true.
And so, like, I spent 6 years on that part of my journey, and then I returned to school, and I had saved money, and I paid, you know, my parents had, you know, when I left school, my parents, who had been very supportive of me, said, like, look, like you're on your own, you're not following the prescribed path, so, like, you got to take care of yourself from here, right? Mm-hmm. Which, like, I was fortunate that I got taken care of as long as I did, right? I really recognize that privilege in my life. And so, but at that point, like, so I go back to school, I'm working and paying, I paid for the rest of my tuition. I'm, you know, I'm working two jobs and like paying for things, cash money and, you know, leveraging myself, blah, blah, blah. So by the time I finished my undergraduate degree, even though I was 27 some odd years old, right? 28 years old, I felt a lot of pressure to get a job because I had to have a job. So when I finished, I had been offered a spot in an MFA program that paid a $13,000 a year stipend, right? In an acting MFA program, right? Or I could take a job teaching theater at a prep school, right? At a private boarding school. And, you know, I took the job, right? Talk about freshman year of life. I wanted insurance for the first time in my life. I wanted a salary for the first time in my life. And I did that for 2 years. And so I think there is a lot of pressure to jump into that job, yeah, whether it be life pressure or social pressure or a combination of the two. And I do think that, like, indulging in that is good. And, like, having a job is great. If you felt like Abby was right, like, find your time for your hobbies, for things that make you happy, and then find work that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. But also, like, everybody, if you have the chance, if it makes any sense at all, like, really pursue the thing that makes you happy.
Agreed. Yeah.
Right, like, even if it's, like, shoestrap budget, like, when I was doing, I was at a turning point in Chicago, and I was doing theater and improv, and I had this day job, and I got this gig being a backup for this touring company, for an improv company that toured, and I was talking to one of the guys, we get pretty drunk together, and he was like, and I was like, man, I really want to do this, and I really want to take as many gigs as possible, but, like, I'll have to skip work a bunch. He's like, you're never going to do this. You're never going to have this performance thing in your life if you can't, for a year, 6 months, take the risk of not having a real job to just do this thing that you love. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I quit that job. And it sucked and ate a lot of rice. But then I ended up on this 4 year journey after that where the only job I ever had was theater. Mm-hmm. Right. I was really, really lucky the whole time.
And a good actor.
And maybe. that's for Roger Ebert to decide. But yeah, I don't know. So, like, do those things. Yeah. Follow some, yeah.
Sometimes you gotta take the risk. I think that's not a big thing that keeps playing in the back of my mind. It's like, I don't want to be 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road and regret not taking a chance. Just playing it safe. So.
Wow. You guys heard it here first in the kitchen. That's all I gotta say. All right. Well, now it's time for a little game.
Love games.
A little rapid fire question, a little this or that, you know? There's my theme song for this or that. Okay, before the this or that, here are some two questions that I have for you.
Yeah.
Number one, what is an essential that every person must have in their kitchen?
A whisk.
Dough scraper.
Well, what if you never make bread?
Dough scraper you can use for all, like, so much. You can use it after you chop veggies. You can use it to chop veggies. You can clean up stuff with it.
Pretty nice thing to have.
Dough scrapers are good. You can't whisk. You can't beat eggs with them, though.
That's true. But a whisk, like, you can do all the things with a whisk. Yeah, it's true.
I'm thinking.
And you could cut off the top and make it like a head massager. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just be kind of careful.
Yeah. Okay, number two. Favorite guilty pleasure food.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Like, oh my gosh.
We did get that on our road trip. We stopped to talk about
we
twice.
We got a breakfast Crunchwrap Supreme. Amazing.
ASMR of like unwrapping.
Yeah. Why don't you have one here?
I would eat the butt out of a Crunchwrap Supreme right now.
I think my guilty pleasure food is... gosh.
Celery. You guys, my sister's like the biggest health nut.
No, actually, no. What I think is like is Twizzlers.
Ooh.
Like, that's like the lamest guilty pleasure food ever.
Twizzlers.
But Abby
are so
says
good.
That, you know, she's like this really good baker. She brings home all of these amazing treats that then we all eat. Like, it's no big deal. And then we're like, Abby, don't you love this? She's like, I don't know. I didn't try it. And we're all
facts.
Like, well, what the heck? How do you know if it's good, first of all? Two, how did you not eat it throughout, like, the, you know, everyone eats cookie dough except my sister. She's probably the only person I know that doesn't eat
the raw dough. I just like to
dough.
Trust other people's opinions better than mine with my baked goods. Like, if I think it's good, great. That's awesome. But, like, if other people think it's good, like, even better.
But sometimes you bring it. And I'm like, oh, are they good? And you're like, I don't know. I haven't tried it. And I'm like, well, there's one left. So how did you not try any of it?
Twizzlers are big.
I ate it all.
Yeah, Ian is my... He is my...
He's the human garbage disposal, pretty
no,
much.
No,
Ian McCabe eats
test.
Anything.
That's actually pretty true. But he does have to test all my recipes.
For sure.
He's my taste tester.
This podcast makes me sound like a thick boy.
Ian's actually a really fast runner too, like way fast.
Okay. Yeah, like I runs a marathon in under 3 hours fast.
Yeah,
and that's really fast, you guys.
Like real fast. He's like real fast.
Like Speedy Gonzales.
Yeah, it's sure. So I'm going with Twizzlers. My guilty pleasure food.
Love Twizzlers.
Or okay. maybe we're tortilla chips.
Are you?
That's the lamest. That is lame. Actually, that's a lame guilty pleasure food. Like some people like. Wish they ate tortilla chips so they could have corn in their
nope.
diet.
It's Pop-Tart cereal.
Oh, for sure, Pop-Tart cereal.
Yeah, sorry, I changed it. Pop-Tart cereal.
Wait, brown sugar cinnamon or strawberry?
Strawberry.
Brown. Yeah, for sure.
Brown sugar.
The
you have
cereal,
not tried
though,
it.
The cereal, the brown sugar cinnamon cereal.
Is butt.
Yeah, it's butt.
Send Maddie an email of what you like best.
Pop-Tart cereal,
it.
If you get this, just send us some cereal.
Yeah, you guys, comment.
We'll take strawberry.
Or... just, like, let me know what your favorite guilty pleasure food is, and I'll make sure to, in my next this or that, I'll have people answer which ones they like better.
Ooh, yeah, good call.
I think my favorite guilty pleasure is a Cinnabon toaster strudel.
Oh, dang.
Damn.
But, like, you gotta use 2 packets of ice.
Yes,
because,
you do.
Like, you're
for real,
dude.
Like, I remember though. No. I remember when we were little and like I would save like half of the packet of icing so just so I could like eat it.
No.
Foul.
I would use 2 of them because there wasn't ever enough icing on it. But then you'd get to like the last toaster strudel and there'd be no icing. Right. And you're like,
Give that one away.
And so then you're just like eating it, playing, crying, just like thinking about.
Oh man. Yeah. See, we would have all been great together because like I don't like a frosting on my toaster strudel. Well, Unpopular opinion, but I'm not into it. Wait,
you can have our last toaster strudel every time.
There we go.
But also bagel bites.
All right, so like that that's such a good guilty pleasure food. Bagel bites is like,
yeah, where did tortilla chips?
Yeah, bagel bites are like raunchy bad.
Like, wait, oh, okay, here's a this or that. Bagel bites or pizza rolls?
Oh, bagel bites.
100%.
100%.
You always burn your mouth on a pizza roll. You never know how hot that inside's going to be.
Yeah, pizza rolls have two temperatures. Lava and Yeti's nutsack. Like,
you like put it in your mouth and it's on fire.
You're like, ah! Or it's like, why is it so cold and hairy?
They kind of are. Wait, they really kind of are, though.
I know. Right? Look, I've had a lot of pizza rolls in my life.
You were living in
New York. What about chicken ramen?
No. Oh, I like chicken ramen.
Me
I just,
too.
I just got a little, I felt, had some feelings.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here are some more. Wow, this or that.
This or that.
Yeah. Okay, rapid fire. Ben and Jerry's or Jenny's ice cream?
Ben and Jerry's. Chunky over creamy.
Oh, okay. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
100% waffles. Are you serious?
They take forever to make. Oh, one at a time.
How did they do it, Hilton? That little flipper?
No, I've been to a Holiday Inn Express.
Wait, honestly, the ones from the hotels are better than the ones that you make at home. Because
waffles-wise? Oh, yeah, for sure.
We used to get them at soccer tournaments, and you just, like, when you saw that waffle maker, you'd run. There'd be a line.
Waffle that baby up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a line for the waffle maker. Guess what there's not a line for? Like, the pancake bin.
They suck. Poopy poop. Yeah, they're so bad.
Guess what? It's all the same stuff.
No. Next question.
Hot off the griddle.
Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Oh.
For sure. Okay. unpopular opinion, I guess.
Unpopular opinion. I'm allergic to peanuts. So, wow. Beer or wine?
Beer.
Wow.
Every time.
What is your favorite kind of beer? Hartruth Hills? Quaff On?
Quaff On Brewing Companies. No, my favorite kind of beer?
A hazy IPA all day.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with, something like a bready, like a Martsen, or like a, one of the like brown, British bready beers. Or like a German, like a Martsen bready beer. Saison.
You were going to say that.
I named like three different styles of beer there. One of them being French, Saison, a Martsen, which is German. And then I also said British. So like just bready beers, friends.
Ian likes beer.
I love beer. Let's do a beer podcast.
Oh, sick. Yeah, we could do that too. Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Chocolate.
Wow. Okay.
What?
Do you have anything else to say about that?
Nope.
Okay. My last one. Hash browns or home fries?
Oh, hash browns.
Oh. I'm just thinking of those good hash browns from Wee Willie's. They were so good.
Oh, well, all right. So, like, hash browns from a place like that.
You guys, if you have never been to Wee Willie's in Bloomington, Indiana, you missed your chance because it's closed now. But it was just...
They're looking for a night manager at Wee Willie's West.
Okay, the Eltsville one's not the same, though.
No.
But there was this bomb, hole-in-the-wall, kind of gross, rundown diner, but they had the best food.
Their pancakes, legit.
I would eat their pancakes over waffles.
Agreed.
Any day.
Agreed.
Probably because those pancakes are cooked in bacon grease, and that's how you cook a proper pancake.
And maybe they were, maybe they weren't.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, there you have it. Ian and Abby, thanks so much for joining me in the kitchen today.
We love you. Thanks for having us
today. Thank you. This has been lovely.
And I will see you guys down in the kitchen tonight for dinner.
Our faces are touching.
Perfect.
All right, you guys, thanks so much for listening. If you liked it, keep listening. Subscribe to my podcast, In the Kitchen. And special thanks to Anchor for helping me distribute this podcast and everything to all the listening platforms that you guys are currently listening to. And that's all I have for you. And I'll see you next time in the kitchen.